Welcome to Kinsey Confidential. This is your opportunity to ask questions about sex and have them answered. I'm Dr. Debbie Herbenick, a sexual health educator at the Kinsey Institute at Indiana University. Here is today's question.
My boyfriend hasn't been able to reach orgasm from a handjob, so I find a blowjob is the only way of pleasing him. However, it still takes him a while, sometimes nearly 45 minutes. At first I thought he was just nervous, but now I'm starting to get a little frustrated. Is there anything I can do?
Although we commonly seem to accept the fact that many women find that it's difficult or takes a long time to have an orgasm, many people are often surprised to find out that many men find it difficult to ejaculate or have an orgasm as well. Sometimes men find it difficult to reach orgasm in very specific situations, like if they worry that someone will walk in on them or hear them having sex. Other times, men find it difficult to orgasm from certain types of sex acts, such as hand stimulation, oral sex, vaginal intercourse, or anal sex. If this is an issue that you and your boyfriend can talk to each other comfortably and with care and respect for each other about, you might consider asking him whether he's able to reach orgasm during masturbation. If he is able to do so, then you may have a starting place. You might be able to ask him if he would feel comfortable masturbating in front of you, either while you watch, or while you kiss him, or while you do something else that you both would find enjoyable or arousing. You might be able to learn how it is that he masturbates, and then try a similar style of hand stimulation yourself. Sometimes men who have difficulty masturbating from hand or oral stimulation from a partner simply have developed a very effective but often specific technique that works for them, and they may find it difficult to communicate that to a partner or to orgasm from other types of stimulation. With time and practice, he may be able to learn to reach orgasm from different types of stimulation. To do this, he may want to start masturbating in different ways, with and without lubrication, with varying hand positions, or other strategies such as rubbing against his bed or pillows. That is, only if he wants to learn to expand his repertoire. You might also try to relax and focus less on his orgasm as a goal, and instead place importance on pleasure, intimacy, and connection. Focusing too much on trying to get him to have an orgasm may feel like pressure to him, or make him aware of the fact that it takes him a while to have an orgasm, and that pressure or anxiety can make it even more difficult to orgasm. For more tips and techniques, check out Because It Feels Good or Morgasm.
You can become a fan of Kinsey Confidential on Facebook and follow updates all week long. That's at facebook.com/Kinsey Confidential, or subscribe to the podcast in iTunes. Find out more at kinseyconfidential.org. Our next question.
Does shaving your pubic hairs cause you to be less likely to get human lice? Also, would you recommend shaving them off?
Pubic lice, which are also called crabs, are found crawling along coarse body hair, such as men's or women's pubic hair. But these are not the only hair that they may hang around in. Pubic lice are sometimes also found in men's beards or mustaches, or in people's eyebrows or eyelashes, which is something to consider about giving oral sex to a partner and getting one's eyes very close to their genital area. If there are no hairs in a certain area to cling to, then a person is highly unlikely to get pubic lice. As such, if someone removes all of their pubic hair, then there will be no hairs for pubic lice to cling to should that person have sex with someone who has pubic lice. If a person shaves some of their pubic hair off but not all of it, then there will still be some hair for lice to cling to. That said, pubic lice are relatively uncommon and are not necessarily a reason to remove one's pubic hair. Many men and women enjoy having some amount of pubic hair. It can feel sensual to gently tug on one's own or a partner's pubic hair, and many people find the presence of pubic hair to be quite sexy and erotic. After all, pubic hair begins growing at the time of puberty. So for many people, seeing pubic hair on their partner is closely linked with sexual excitement and sexual development. Then again, everyone has their own preference, and there are numerous pubic hair styles that one can have. Some people go totally natural. Others use scissors to trim their pubic hair. Some people shave or wax the sides of their pubic hair, such as the hair on their inner thighs. Others shave or wax more hair off, or may do so in ways that create certain shapes or designs. There are even pubic hair design stencils that one can purchase to more easily fashion one's pubic hair into the shape of a heart, star, or a letter, such as the first letter of your or your partner's first name. Some people choose to remove all of their pubic hair. In one study that I worked on that looked at the pubic hair removal methods of 2,451 women, we found that contrary to what is sometimes described in the media, only about 20% of college-age women removed all of their pubic hair very often. It was more common for college-age women, as well as those who are older, to keep some hair. For example, among women ages 25 to 29, 50% only removed some of their pubic hair through shaving or waxing, and 19% didn't shave or wax any of it off. Choosing a pubic hairstyle is personal. It's something that people decide for themselves, sometimes doing what they themselves find sexy, comfortable, or affordable, and other times letting a partner have a say in the matter. As such, there is no one pubic hairstyle that I recommend, except to say that I hope people choose styles that help them to feel good about their bodies and comfortable with themselves. For information about pubic hair removal methods and health issues for women, check out the V-Book, A Doctor's Guide to Complete Vulvovaginal Health.
Dr. Debbie Herbenik is a sexual health researcher and educator at the Kinsey Institute. Kinsey Confidential is produced by the Kinsey Institute for Research in Sex, Gender, and Reproduction, in partnership with WFIU Public Media from Indiana University. We need your questions. Submit them through our website, where you can listen to archived episodes of the podcast and read the blog. Find us online at kinseyconfidential.org.